So we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 19. The Lord instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. Text 176.
Bhukti mukti spriha javat pichasi ridavartate tavat bhakti sukhas yatra katama buddhayo bhavet. Bhukti,
for material enjoyment.
Mukti,
and for liberation from material existence.
Spriha,
desire.
Javan,
as long as.
Pichasi,
the witches.
Ridi,
within the heart.
Vartate,
remain.
Tava,
that long.
Bhakti,
of devotional service.
Sukhasya,
of the happiness.
Atra,
here.
Kata,
how.
Abhyudaya,
awakening.
Bhavet,
can there be? The material desire to enjoy the material world and the desire to become liberated from material bondage are considered to be two witches, and they hound one like ghosts. As long as these witches remain within the heart, how can one feel transcendental bliss? As long as these two witches remain in the heart, there is no possibility of enjoying the transcendental bliss of devotional service. This verse is found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.22.
Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyanandana Salakya Shakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatrubhya Chasa Kripa Sanduviva Chapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So it is stated that, generally speaking, in a scripture, there is a verse which catches the spirit of the entire book. And this verse is known as the Paribhasa Sutra. So, in writing, in Sanskrit, there are many guidelines for writing. It's not modern type of writing. It's the type of writing where one writes according to certain guidelines. So, generally speaking, there is such a Paribhasa Sutra, or a verse that contains everything, the spirit of the book. So in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or the Nectar of Devotion, that is the famous verse, Anya Bilasita Sunyam Jnana Karmadhyanabritam. So that verse establishes that devotional service must be free from any trace of fruitive desire, karma, or any desire for liberation whatsoever. This verse here, also from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is giving us the metaphor of two witches who are haunting the heart like ghosts. A highly terrible situation. In other words, in more contemporary language, we would say obsession, the word obsession. Right? Since this is the age of psychology, everything is most easily understood in these terms of of modern psychology. For example, if you say sin in modern times, a lot of people get allergic reactions, you know, just for the word sin, you know, they feel like, oh God, you know, here we go again, you know, oh no, sin just once again, oh, oh, and next we're going to burn in hell, isn't it, right? Something like that, these kind of reactions. But if you say that it is pathological self-destructive behavior, right? Everyone will get like, oh, that's very, very serious. They're very bad, you know? Which is about the same, because sin is really described as that activity which is not surrender in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, when we do that, then it is like the spark is falling out of the fire. And in other words, we're cutting ourselves off of the source of our life when we give up our devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So it is self-destructive behavior. And it's insane. It's pathological. Right. So therefore, it is pathological self-destructive behavior if you express it in psychological terms. Immediately, everyone's... No one would argue with that, but if you say sin, you know, there would be like definitely some people in the audience who would just care, like they would get up and leave or something like that. So, in the same way, we understand that we are obsessed, obsessed with these desires to enjoy or to escape. Sometimes we are described as a movement of escapists. We are accused like that by atheistic people, that all of you simply had a lot of problems in your youth, and as a result of that, you know, you had to take shelter of some religious cult or sect, right? Just because you couldn't face the difficulties of the world, and then you had to create some sort of sense of belonging to a family and some concept of God which, you know, which would make you feel better, right? There's some shelter, and then you would sit with a group of people, oh, we're so happy now, you know, now we found shelter. And in this way, and totally closing your eyes to the world. And there you're walking in your bed sheets and with your blissed out on the street in some sort of trance dance, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Like that, right? This is the foolishness of the atheist who cannot understand the position of the devotee. So, oftentimes we are very quick, you know, to just reject this and say this is just the conditioned vision of the materialist. But other times, when we take it more thoughtful, and when we think about it, then we can ask the question, well, maybe some of us are escapists, right? Maybe we did join to escape the pressure of the material world, actually, if we think about it. Did we join for Krishna? Maybe not. Maybe we didn't really join with the idea that I want to serve Krishna. Maybe we really thought this material world is an impossible place. I mean, the idea of working in an office from Monday to Friday, right, from 9 to 5, was for some maybe really too much, right? I said, then I'd better join the Hare Krishna temple. That may be maybe more comfortable. So, in one sense, we may have joined, because part of us is a bit of an escapist, right? To again use like modern terminology, escapist, instead of the traditional word that traces of gyan or traces of bhukti, traces of the desire for liberation remaining in us, right? The gyani has realized that the material world is not a place for enjoyment, and therefore the gyani is desiring to get out of this material world. The karmi is all along thinking, oh, it's such a beautiful place, you know. And there are a few little problems, but I'll overcome them. And then everything will be perfect. You know, it's almost perfect, and just a few little imperfections need to be adjusted, you know. And if somebody really suffers, that's bad luck. What can you do? That's part of life also, but, you know, most people are very happy, and it's just a handful who just happen to have bad luck, you know. And that's, we feel very sorry for them, right? And, you know, but we can't really see that the world is a miserable place. Not at all. It's a wonderful world. It's a beautiful world. Life is so beautiful. Right. That kind of mood is the mood of the karmi. And when they become that person who has the bad luck, right? I don't know, some heavy accident or something. Then they become suicidal. So depressed, right? Say, like, you know, because there's no more hope. Right. Well, how different from a devotee who sees the hand of the Supreme Lord and who suffers like anything, obviously, when some calamity happens, but yet at least can remember that there is a higher cause behind all this. Krishna has a purpose with this. It's almost unbearable, but somehow or other, this must be happening to me for my purification. There must be many reasons why I'm getting like this. How wonderful is devotional service, that even in the darkest moments, it can give us a shelter, a realistic shelter. And how logical is Krishna consciousness? And how illogical is atheism? Srila Prabhupada always pointed out that everything in this world is perfectly arranged. That everything is going on very nicely. There's rain so that the vegetables can grow. In India, you see this. We eat the bananas and the cow eat the peels, right? And this is such an amazing arrangement if you look at it, right? We take the banana, and what do you want to do with the peel? I mean, what do you do with the peel? No problem. The cow is waiting for it. Give me that peel. Right? Nice banana peels. His favorite. What an arrangement. What a perfect arrangement. So, if we look at how nice Krishna has managed everything, then it's so well arranged that it's pretty clear. In Australia, the devotees did a play which was also illustrating the things well. There was a group of men on a hill, and they had one of those sort of bicycle pumps to start a big explosion. Right? They're standing there, you know, those kind of classical things. And they had a big sign saying, Big Bang Apartments. And they were going to blow some apartments into existence. Right? And of course, and ask people to pay. Nobody bought, right? Nobody bought. So, because no one believes that one can, with an explosion, blow apartments into existence. But when it comes to the whole universe, well, that's another, yes, of course. I mean, well, that was a big explosion, and I mean, it must have been, and makes a lot of sense, and very logical. Right? So, like this, devotees are doing good preaching to expose the ridiculous nature of mundane speculators. Who, as Prabhupada said, are following the old mentality of the vulture. Swakuni swape gora marana. That the vulture, it's not so easy to be a vulture. Right? The reason is this, that in our life, well, 9 o'clock, breakfast, 2 o'clock, sort of, lunch, you know. 60s, 70s, or something after that, dinner, you know, like, can always have a snack in between if you get hungry on the way, right? Anything possible. Basically, we can eat when we want to, but a vulture, not like that. A vulture has to wait till somebody dies, and sometimes nobody dies. So vulture life is not so easy. So the vulture was sitting in the tree and nobody was dying. So vulture was starving, very, very hungry. And finally the vulture looked at a fat cow, raised his wing and said, I curse you to die. That didn't work. It said the vulture's curse didn't work. Right? So in this way, the materialist, Srila Prabhupada explains, is very eager to declare God dead, right? God is dead, right? The God is dead philosophy is very convenient, because when God is dead, then we can have his kingdom, right? Yes, he's dead. So everything that's his, we can have it, right? So it's like, materialist is very quick with his philosophy. The tendencies of karma and jnana are self-centered. They're concerned with my enjoyment, my liberation. In other words, my position. So how different is the position of the devotee who is the servant and who is considering that, well, I'm not so concerned with my enjoyment. Let me just make nice arrangements for the Lord. And always engaged in making nice arrangements for the Lord. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we find this description. It begins with a brahmana who is making very wonderful arrangements for the worship of the Lord. Very big, nice, elaborate arrangements for the puja of the Lord. And Narada Muni was so impressed, he said, you are the most wonderful devotee in the world. This is the system of the devotee, that the devotee always makes nice arrangements for the worship of the Lord, takes a lot of trouble for that. But this trouble is so much happiness. Within this trouble of making nice arrangements for the worship of the Lord, everything becomes wonderful. Like this year in Mayapur, they really did it very nicely with the Abhishek of Lord Chaitanya, of the Panchatattva. It was very nice. I mean, they had outside in the garden made three little temples with a pandal, like they can make it very nice in Bengal. They had made a queue system with like three bamboo railings next to each other. So one was for going in and another one for going out. So there was no pushing. People were like nicely coming in, baiting the deity and going out. Everyone could bait the deities. Devotees were sitting very peacefully on the grass. There was a nice soft bhajan. Totally different than the old days when the Abhishek was in the temple and there was a huge mob of people pushing and going forward towards the stage, wild and suffocating and very passionate. Now it was very transcendental, very transcendental. The day before, they had a ceremony to bring, everyone brought a pot of Ganges water for the Abhishek. Right? So in this way, the entire mood was very, very nice. The arrangement very elaborate. The devotees were sitting on the grass, and then behind it was the lotus building, for those who know Mayapur. And the staircase was like a tribune, you know. Some devotees had seats there and they were watching. And then there were the devotees standing on the verandas on different levels. It was really very nice, very nice. A very spiritual scene. So that's what it takes. We know that also from our own festivals when we really try to make it very, very nice. It's a lot of work and very difficult, but in the end, it is so blissful, so wonderful. So this is devotional service when one puts his self-interest aside. Admindriya prithivan shitarabolikam. As long as we are concerned with our own desires, it is lust. And we are under the influence of lust. And krishnendriya prithiya chidare premanam. If we are concerned with the desires of Krishna, then it becomes love, actually. So we are performing that in practice. And within that practice, we are being purified, which is very nice. Because simply by putting ourselves in the servants' quarters, in the background, and putting Krishna in the center, everything becomes very, very nice. This must be done as much as possible, that we are... So grihasthas were recommended to worship deities in their house, not just a little bit, you know, but really like substantial, very nice. That is recommended. At least a Shaligram Shila was the practice amongst the Brahmanas. Right? And nothing would be eaten unless it was offered to the Shaligram Shila. This was the standard. And to ever actually worship deities in the house very elaborately is very nice. I remember I once stayed in Italy in the house of Matsya Avatar, and it was very, very nice, very cultural, because he has made his house really like a temple. He has like one floor for the ladies, one floor for the men, right? And then in the middle there is the temple, right? There's a mezzanine floor in between, and there's the temple. And in the morning, it was winter, so in the morning they were offering the deity some herbal tea, right? And he had nice little cups, very beautiful little teacups for the deities, and they were getting their tea. And then we were getting some hot tea, only after, right? And so I'd never seen such a transcendental offering for a cup of tea, you know. Usually, you want a cup of tea? Yeah, okay, yeah, give us a cup of tea. Right, nice, okay. I don't know if we would ring a bell, you know, for a cup of tea, or if we just say Hare Krishna, or we don't say anything at all and just make the tea and drink it and think nothing of it. But he was making such a nice tea offering to the deities that I still remember that cup of tea after so many years. It's like, you know, that was a special cup of tea. It really was. I can advise you, go to Matsya Avatar's house for a cup of tea. Very transcendental. Like that, the more we are actually getting into it in our worship of the Lord, the more wonderful everything will become. And I must say that Vrindavan is like very much that, right? So much worship of the Lord, of the deity, everywhere, and everyone is just so busy with that, and that gives such a wonderful atmosphere to the whole town. Always people chanting in the night for the deity, some kirtan going on somewhere, some puja going on, some big offering going on, some special decoration, or some special bhajans, a special flower house. So many of such things are always going on. This is very nice. I'll read the next verse. Sadhana bhakti hoita haya rati raudaya rati gada haile tare prema namakaya. By regularly rendering devotional service, one gradually becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When that attachment is intensified, it becomes love of Godhead. Purport. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 122 gives the following information about sadhana bhakti. Kriti sadhya bhavat sadhya bhavasa sadhana bidha nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakacham riddhi sadhyata. The process of devotional service, beginning with chanting and hearing, is called sadhana bhakti. This includes the regulative principles that are intended to awaken one to devotional service. Devotional service is always dormant in everyone's heart, and by the offenseless chanting of the holy names of the Lord, one's original dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened. This awakening to Krishna consciousness is the beginning of sadhana bhakti. This can be divided into many different parts, including faith, association with devotees, initiation by the spiritual master, engagement in devotional service under the instruction of a spiritual master, steadiness in devotional service, and the awakening of a taste for devotional service. In this way, one can become attached to Krishna and his service, and when this attachment is intensified, It results in ecstatic love for Krishna. The word rati is explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as follows, and we'll read that in a moment. So devotional service is very, very nice. Initially, we may be attracted by certain part of the atmosphere. The atmosphere is very important. The atmosphere of the temple is what impresses us very much. The way the devotees look, the scent of incense and halva and all these things mixed, and prasadam and devotees being so humble. These kind of things can really impress us. Like I'm remembering in Amsterdam, there was Mahavirya, who was a very nice devotee, a very dedicated devotee. And I had been quite ill before I was a devotee, because I had had severe jaundice for quite some time. And therefore, with prasadam, I needed some special care. And I couldn't... Yeah, you too remember him, of course. Yeah. You too, you remember. But anyway, I could not eat halva. Can you imagine? I joined and I could not eat halva. So this was like terrible, right? The end of the world, practically speaking, you know. In the morning, I was during Posada, and they had this good halva many times, you know. And the devotees were having huge piles of nice steaming halva, looking really golden brown. And I was like, soaked in ghee. And I was like, oh, it was very austere. So he made some bread for me, banana bread, which was also terribly good, right? But he kept that upstairs, and I had a cupboard, and he just put it in my cupboard. So it was impossible to resist. It was just too good. So whenever I would come by that cupboard, I would just... It was a big flat banana bread. I would just break off one piece, right? I would just break off one piece and take a few bites, and then, you know. So it was just impossible to stay regulated with that banana bread in my cupboard. It was just irresistible. So I was just... And I didn't have a knife, and I didn't care. I was just breaking pieces off and eating them. So one day he said, "You eat like a mouse." And actually, I thought he's right. I am eating like a mouse. I was. It was quite personal, actually. It was nice. And then he used to write notes, and he signed these notes with "your dog servant," which was kind of shocking. To me, that was shocking, that any human being would refer to himself as a dog servant. I really felt like, my God, you know, how can anyone call himself a dog servant, right? I mean, like, you know, is this really Vaishnava? I thought, is this what it is to be a devotee? To consider yourself a dog servant? It kind of shocked me. And he would always get up very early, like 2 o'clock. And as soon as I would get up, then he would always be the one to offer obeisances first, right? Because he was like the senior devotee. And he was so quick at it, that he didn't, even if you tried, you know, he still beat you to it. And it's like, he'd sneak up, you know, and suddenly, boom, there's already Vanchakop to Rubia again. So he had these nice Vaishnava traits, actually, in which teaching not by raising the finger and lecturing, but teaching by kindness and by example. So it was impressive. actually, in that aspect. So in the beginning, when we come to Krishna consciousness, these kind of things mean a lot to us. Somebody who's kind to us. He was the first person who was really friendly to me, and it made all the difference. You know, it's like if I wouldn't have had like someone who was just friendly to me, and I was amidst everyone else was just fired up, right? Very fired up, you know, and there was Sankirtan, and everyone was so fired up. But I missed something like just a casual from, how are you today, you know? Then he had that personal touch, which made all the difference. And he really was interested in who are you, right? Not just like, okay, you know, you must all go forward, and Sankirtan, and like, and it's like, so it was, for me, that was important. And for many devotees, it's important, right? People say the same thing to me, you know, that like, they appreciate it when you're new and someone recognizes you and gives you a personal, some personal touch. So that means a lot, right, in a spiritual life. So we're relating a lot to the atmosphere, to the way the people deal with us and the way the devotees deal. And that's like maybe for many one of the deciding factors for joining. There's some philosophy also, a book, etc. But, you know, we want to see that in the devotees before we join. Then, as we are coming into Krishna consciousness, gradually we become more and more philosophical. And this is important. We are going to these Bhagavatam classes, we are reading the scriptures, and we must. Because if we're not philosophical, we're not going to survive. Because philosophy means that we see beyond the surface. We see what is behind the situation. Prabhupada points out that philosophy means to search out the cause. Right? The cause of something that happens. Yes, what is the cause of this, and what is the cause of that, and what is the cause of the cause? What is the cause of all causes? Right, and you come to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is very important because the material world is under the influence of the three modes of material nature, which are existing in 81 different combinations, right, and which are causing happiness and distress. And when happiness is there, oh, it's so easy. But when distress hits, when it gets heavy, then it gets difficult, very difficult to act according to a prescribed duty. You know, when spiritual life, see, nobody bloops during the Sunday feast, right? And also not just before, right? You don't do that. You don't bloop on the Sunday feast. Forget that, right? I'll bloop tomorrow, but not today. Not on the Sunday feast, right? So, this is a fact that at the difficult times, then our determination is tested more. And therefore, when our determination is being tested like that, then we need philosophy very much to remind ourselves, wait a minute now, I know you feel like running away from here, but where will you run to? There's nowhere to run to, you know. You can run like crazy around the whole world from one place to the next, right? But you will not find it. You will not escape this suffering. The suffering that is here will also appear in another form somewhere else, right? It is just the basic ingredient of material existence. It's always there. Dukhaliyam asashvatam, it says, right? Everything's temporary, full of suffering. So if one understands that, I can't really escape it. Where can I escape it to? And say, what's the point of running away? Right? Better I tolerate now and work on spiritual advancement, because that is the only way out. There is no other way out. So for the sake of devotional service, better I stay faithful to Krishna. So sometimes our motivation in in spiritual life is simply based on that, that we want to become free from suffering. That we say, I've suffered enough. And that's okay. That is all right. That is really an important driving factor in our spiritual life. And a lot of devotional service has been done on the strength of that motivation. But it's not enough. You cannot make it in Krishna consciousness if it is simply based on being tired of the suffering of the material world. If we, in the beginning, that motivation can drive us, yes, I've suffered so much. But after, and in the beginning, that motivation can give you wings, and you can do so much. But with time, it wears out. And we see that after some time, you cannot perform the same level of austerity anymore that you could do in the beginning. And you could not. In the beginning, so fresh from the material world, incredible things were done, right? We did, you know, such austerities, and after time, it's like, well, that was maybe a little too extreme, you know. I mean, I don't think I'll do that anymore. And like that, with time, we become a little more reserved. And everyone goes through that cycle, you know. I mean, even if you're an austere person, right, still, in the initial moments, you know, you're ready to go through the wall, right? It's okay, you know, whatever needs to be done, you know, we'll do it. You know, it's just no holding back. We're now surrendered. Okay, boom. But later on, it's just we're now surrendered, but we should not give up our intelligence at the same time, see? And then in the beginning, we gave up our intelligence. Practically, most of us, just for a while, totally gave up the intelligence and say, surrender! A wall. No wall can stop a Sankirtan devotee. Dig a tunnel, climb over it, but somehow or other, we go forward, or just keep on walking. Like the cartoon, you know, you see the cutout of the body in the wall. Right? Like that. This mentality has been there with so many devotees. But this determination with time wears out. And if it is not replaced for a positive inspiration, right? If it is not replaced for becoming inspired about Krishna, we're going to find some reason to take a little distance from the temple. We're going to feel like, well, it's nice, the temple, but it's also, you know, there's a material side to the situation, and it's really, like, very difficult to take, actually. I mean, tell you the truth, you know. The deities are wonderful. And, of course, Srila Prabhupada and his teaching, everything. I mean, it's. I'll never forget, and I'm very thankful for all the years I had in the temple, but I think I need some fresh air, you know. I think I'm going to live on the other side of the country, you know, or on top of a mountain, or somewhere, you know. So many devotees have done that. And that's all right. One can do that. One can live anywhere in this material world and be transcendental. Right? There is no problem at all. But it's not easy. Right? When the neighbors are in Maya, when the whole street is in Maya, when everyone is watching TV, right? And you are not. When, you know, when everyone is sitting in the garden in the summer and, like, you know, sitting there enjoying the sunshine, and you are, well, you know, kind of covered in devotional clothing, right? And your nose gets a little suntan, right? It's like different, right? When the whole world is actually playing and sporting, you know, your favorite sport, tennis. Oh my God. Not tennis. Yes, tennis. Wow. Tennis, right? What a game, right?
And you see them playing and you kind of remember how you used to play and you feel a little sting in your heart. Or it's like suddenly everyone has these skates now, you know, like, and you think like, well, you know, I mean, boy, I would also like to, you know, have a go on the wheels, right? You know, and you'd think like, well, looks a little funny under a dhoti, right? Or a sari, you know. See a devotee on old skates. Some devotees do. They get into tennis again. They get into, you know, say, what's wrong with a game of tennis? You need some exercise, you know. What's wrong with a little skating? You need to do something. I like it better than yoga, you know. Like that one. So what's wrong with seeing this movie? I don't understand. What's the benefit of, like, not going to any movie at all? Because I think, you know, that it's not healthy. It's not healthy if we are isolating ourselves so much socially. You know, we become really estranged from the world. And I mean, I really don't see any benefit with that. And personally, I really don't think, you know, that I lose my Krishna consciousness by going to a movie. I mean, I think that's too extreme, you know. When I go to a movie, I still remember Krishna and the Bhagavad Gita, and I see it all from the perspective. And in the amorous scenes, or the, you know, the somewhat gross scenes, I simply look at the bottom, you know. I'm not looking at that. I never watch those, no. And if it's really bad, I stuff my ears even. No, I'm chaste, you know. I'm dedicated to Prabhupada. No. I would never watch those things, you know, illicit sex and all that, no. But, you know, there are many very good movies that really give us some serious realization about the material world. And in fact, I can recommend you one, and I think you should really go and see it, you know. I mean, I think you should really go and see it, you know. Yeah, I think. Yeah. So like that, you know, there are so many ways to develop a philosophy. Someone said, well, on my wife's birthday, we drank a glass of wine. You know, we drank a glass of wine. And I don't feel any less Krishna conscious. I said, boy, one glass of wine, you're already that much covered over. You're already covered over so much by that wine. So intoxicated that you don't feel that you're any less Krishna conscious anymore. Whew. That's ridiculous. What a statement. So we have to be careful. Obviously, these are compromises. Obviously, this is not prema bhakti, you know. Can you imagine a prema bhakta sitting there, you know, watching some mundane movie? I mean, you know, it's the totally disgusted, right, at the thought of it, you know, like of just a cinema, right? Sin. It's a cinema, right? A sinful place. You know, who would go into such a place, right? No saintly personality would want to go and watch some sinful movie which is full of subtle contaminations which may creep in into one's mind, in the tricky way that Maya works. No, nothing going on. No, this is perfectly okay. Okay, here's a little picture of sinful, degraded activities. No, this movie is like just normal. Yes, okay, here's a little illicit sex in the corner. Well, you know, this is Kali Yuga, yes. But slowly, stick the pictures in your brain. Put them in there, the impressions, right? Maya's preaching. No. 24 hours hearing and chanting and serving Krishna. That's what we want. That's what we joined for. Not for less, really. We can build it up, you know. I mean, I can build it up. You cannot become a big weightlifter in one day. It takes some time, but we must build it up. We must. And therefore we have these gatherings in the temple where devotees come together so that we can find that inspiration to hear about Krishna. That's the advantage of a temple. that all the devotees come there. Because alone, you know, husband and wife and the baby, right? Talking about movies, right? Sometimes I see fragments of movies on planes, right? I never use the earphones, but I must admit it just doesn't work to always close your eyes. Sometimes it's the screen is just, it's so powerful, your eyes are in there. So there was this one movie, I just saw the pictures at the beginning, and it was well filmed. What it was, a story about a man who was, he was coming home. And he's coming home to the house, and then the camera has been put very low on the level of the children, and on child level. And he comes home, and you see toys everywhere over the whole house, and you see, like, you know, over the whole floor, millions of toys, and you see lots of kids' stuff, and the whole house is just... It's the children's world, you know. And then you see, like, the mother being totally supportive of that, you know. And then he's coming home, and he is also kissing the wife and the daughter, right? And you can see how... But he's totally unhappy, right? He's totally unhappy being in this kind of situation. And the cameraman was really very good by, like... filming at a low level, so you're in the children world, you know, you kind of see the whole thing from the children's perspective. Really brought it out. So that was interesting. So sometimes we see something like that, maybe interesting. Karmis make amazing things. On one airport, they had a picture of it was about some school. And it was a school for experiential learning. So there's a bus, a school bus, and there's children sitting in the school bus. And they have a book with animals. It's all about Africa, and it shows pictures of a giraffe and of an elephant and a tiger. And they come to the picture of a rhinoceros. Suddenly, as they look out of the window of the bus, they see some little thing falling in the sky, falling down from the sky. Something's falling. And as it comes closer, it's a rhinoceros. And this rhinoceros, it lands right on top of a car. The whole car, total loss, right? Bang! You see him landing on this car. The whole car is crashed, you know? And the rhinoceros just jumps off the car, right? Walks, bashes into the bus with his head. Boom! The whole bus goes like... The kids are all like... You know, and the rhinoceros runs away in the street, you know, and the kids run to the other side, and then comes up the logo for this school of experiential learning. I thought, God, what an advertisement, right? I mean, totally, what is that, you know? Everybody looks, you know, what is that? What's that? And it's like a rhinoceros. And they played it a few times. I mean, I watched it a few times because it was so well made, and I was really thinking, we should hire some of these people, right, to get an advertisement for Krishna consciousness. Really, really good. So they're so expert, Maya's agents, in advertising these wares. So we must be very, very careful. I'm not calling for fanaticism. I'm not calling that we must sit in a flat with a carrot because we're vegetarians, you know. Here's your carrot, dear. Thank you so much. Yeah. Nice carrots today. Yes, like that. Winter carrots, summer carrots. Oh, it's a big difference. Yes. Like, that's not exactly what we're proposing, that the devotee is just putting on blinds and saying, no, I don't see the world. No, I am not looking. No, I am not looking up and down either. Oh, and eventually has glasses that are painted black with two tiny little holes, you know, for seeing at least something, but not very much, right? No, I'm not proposing that. What I am proposing is that
that we simply become so absorbed in serving Krishna. Because putting those glasses, that would be, again, the mood of gyan, the mood of liberation. So it's not that from giving up sense gratification, we go to the mood of like renunciation, giving up the world. Yes, we may give up the world, but what's the use of it if we don't fill it with the worship of Krishna? Then it's useless. As Srila Rupa Goswami states, that he said, renunciation, yeah, it can help a little bit in the beginning, but it's not very important in that way. Right? One must actually take up the process of actively serving Krishna. That is the way. One must take up the positive activity of glorifying Krishna, right, to all and everyone, always, at all times, privately and publicly. That is the way. By hearing, chanting, by serving the lotus feet and all the other processes of devotional service. With that, I will stop. Ask for comments or questions. Empty.
I remember one time they played from Maharaj. He was traveling from India or to India. He was reading Thai medicine.
I know that.
Was actually telling him this is not the right thing to do. And he was indeed defending him the same way. He was saying, well, you know, if I read all misery in this Thai medicine, then it makes me really aware of the miseries of the material world. In this way, I become more attracted to Krishna. You're still like this.
Yeah.
Then why don't you just read the
Srimad
Bhagavatam? Then your purpose will be fulfilled.
Yes. And you're silent. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's a fact. Yeah, it's not that we see, sometimes we get in a frame of mind that I'm not allowed to read Time magazine, because I'm a devotee, and the sannyasi said that I should read Bhagavatam and not Time magazine. Oh my God, you know, such a narrow life. Can I tolerate it? No Time magazine, no movies. I mean, can I just live a whole life with just the Srimad Bhagavatam and never anything else in an ocean of varieties? I'm only allowed one flavor. Out of all the 50 flavors of ice cream, I'm only allowed one. Right? How can I tolerate this? Yeah, you see? That's the kind of mood that looks the desire for something new. Always something new. Right? But it is not new. It's the same old story. Same thing. Chewing the jute. Nothing is new. Just repetitious. Lust, greed, and anger. Yeah, thank you very much. Yes, Maharaj has been quite strong about Time magazine. Even once took the Time magazine and threw it in the garbage can. They're not fond of Time magazine. That is a fact. Yes.
Yeah, this would be funny because last week in Kashyapa, he was telling the story about devotees and Srila Prabhupada. They were in the plane, in the airplane, and there was this Charlie Chaplin movie, and everybody was like holding the Bhagavatam in front of their eyes because they didn't see it.
Because Prabhupada was there. Prabhupada also told that when he was a child, that he used to steal money from his mother's purse to go to the Charlie Chaplin movies. So, so Prabhupada certainly was a fan of Charlie Chaplin, and Prabhupada said, "One must be very intelligent to make people laugh. Right? That's a sign of a very intelligent man." And well, Charlie Chaplin, his movies were obviously exposing, right? Exposing the foolishness of material nature in a very brilliant way. So Prabhupada appreciate that. So not that we now regularly are going to have Charlie Chaplin evenings in the temple. It's authorized. It's authorized. Prabhupada was into Charlie Chaplin, you know. This is the problem with devotees, right? As soon as, like, Prabhupada on a few occasions showed some interest in Charlie Chaplin, it's going to be Bhakta Charlie, you know. Bhakta Charlie and Bhakta George, you know. I really want to see you. Yeah, yeah. You know. Oh, yeah. You know. Sure. I mean, we've got all the albums of George. We have all the Charlie Chaplin movies. Whew, is there anything more? Prabhupada liked, Prabhupada drank 7-Up. Okay, 7-Up, you know. Bring the 7-Up, you know. What else? What else is there, you know? Can we stretch the limits somehow or other? So we shouldn't take it like that, but we should appreciate. And some Charlie Chaplin movies are a little difficult, you know, because sometimes Charlie really goes after the ladies, you know, and she's Charlestoning away, you know, and he goes, not only kisses the hands, but goes all the way up to the shoulder. And even that might contaminate the mind of the innocent brahmachari. So I would be careful with Charlie Chaplin, you know. I wouldn't go too far. You know, before you know it, you're Charlestoning yourself, you know, and then you become like a slapstick figure, right? A laughing stock, right? A clown, right? That's what happens. If we fall prey to material desires, we become a clown. Now it's, or you want to have a... No, I'm not saying that. No. But it is my duty to make sure that my words are not misunderstood. I understood your words, but if I say that Prabhupada liked Charlie Chaplin and if Akachaka said, then I have to make sure that we don't get the Charlie Chaplin cult, you know. It's my duty to make sure to put it in the proper perspective. That's all. So I had to expand on your question. Yes. So we follow the guidelines of the senior Vaishnavas. Yeah. There's always senior Vaishnavas, and they will, as it comes to these more fine questions, they will guide us in that way. That's the system. Now Kamalavati.
I was wondering about the practical level, how it works, because people who work outside, it takes like an average of 8 hours a day.
Yes. Yes, only 10, 14 left. 14 left.
When the 40 left, so there's one is put under so much pressure outside. So when one comes home, there's not much more to do than relaxing.
Yeah, well, I know that. I'm also, also got a full job, you know. And if I would get away with 8 hours, I would consider it not bad, right? No, so I also work to the maximum of my energy. I'm also often tired, right? So I also have the problem that sometimes I'm just so tired. Like yesterday after the Harinam, right? I was tired. I'd been like crazy, you know, on my 50th birthday to jump around as if I was 20. Right? And there, so I was sitting on this chair and I really couldn't move. And I was really, that was not the moment to read Srimad Bhagavatam. I just... All I could do was sit and was trying to chant some rounds, and even that was very difficult, right? Because I was just too tired. I had to rest a little bit. So it gets like that. So then you make arrangements. So I have always tapes ready, you know. I have made arrangements that I have lots of Prabhupada lecture, and I have made them very easily playable, right? Because in the past I found if I have to, like, if it make it difficult, you know, if my technical system is too difficult, I still don't play. So now I made it so easy that I immediately can start a tape, there it goes, or a CD, and boom. With MP3, life has become great. You know, you have so many lectures all at hand, right? 60 to 100 on one disc. You know, you just stick that disc in your little player and there you go, you know. Boom, push the button. Yeah. So it's so easy to listen to a lecture of Prabhupada. And so we should. That you can do. I even listen to Prabhupada at night while I'm sleeping. You know? So if I wake up in between, that I sometimes hear either to bhajan, sometimes to lectures, like sometimes to him chanting japa. Yeah. I often put on the tape at night, just in the hope that it will pull me out of the mode of ignorance. Yeah. So, like that. See, the thing is this. We have to live in this crazy world, which is all centered around technology. So then, as that world is dragging us away from Krishna and taking away our energy from Krishna, we can also use the products of that same world for our Krishna consciousness. You see? So that we should do. That we should do. Anyone else? No. Yes.
On our deity's worship, you know, in the time of Jesus Christ, he did make some of the head priests destroy all the carved paintings and all that. So we understand well what we are doing and what it's about.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the Christians, they do not understand the full truth. A man who eats meat cannot understand the full truth. Even Jesus Christ said that there is so much more that I would have wished to say, but I could not say. Right? Because people were not ready to receive. You were not ready to receive. So I could not say. So that statement already indicates that he could not give the full absolute truth. His followers were too fallen at the time. So, all right. The deity is never ordinary, because the deity is carved according to revealed scriptures. Right? These scriptures are very ancient. They have been tried and tested. Right? People have lived according to these scriptures. They have become great saintly personalities. Right? Very wonderful personalities. So these scriptures are tried and tested in time. And they come in a disciplic succession. So you cannot doubt them. And these scriptures are indicating how to make the deity. So we make the deity according to that. And then there's a statue on the altar. Do you think that the Supreme Lord cannot manifest through that statue? We say to the Christian. Do you think so? Do you think there's something that God cannot do? Is that your understanding, my dear Mr. Christian? Right? Is that what you think? That there's something that God cannot do? You really think like that? If he says yes, then he's finished. And you say, that's a useless philosophy, we would say next, right? God is the Almighty, you know? So even in your scripture. So, you know, how can you say there's something he cannot do? Right? So then you got him. So he knows that. He'll waffle, you know? You'll say something, but we just stick to our question. No. God can manifest himself through the deity form. And he does. That's all there is to it. Anyway, don't argue with Christians. You know, I mean, it's a waste of time. Whenever you meet a Christian, just leave him. Because they cannot hear. They cannot hear. They don't want to hear. They just want to talk. Yeah. They're always trying, you know, to convert someone. It's like, but ultimately it's empty. Like one time we had a Rath Yatra festival in Durban. I'm just about to go now. And I'm sitting in a question and answer tent, you know, all full of devotees. Suddenly there's that man who comes
out of the crowd, and he pulls out a Bible, and he holds it up towards me like that, you know. I'm looking at it, you know, looking at it like, what is this, you know? And then I went like, you know, take it away! I cannot tolerate the light, you know. I said, I told him, I said, look, you know, are you living in a Dracula movie or something? You know, what's going on, you know? I said, so you're a Christian. I said, welcome. We are Hare Krishnas, you know. Be our guest. Take a chair and sit down, you know. I mean, you know, what do you want that I do now, you know? That I pick up the Bhagavad Gita and that I hold it out against the Bible and that we, you know, and that the two lights are just going to battle with one another and then we see which book is the most powerful, right? And like, okay, I can't remember everything I said, but it was in that mood, right? And, well, you know, I was sitting in this question and answer tent. So after some time, he walked out of the tent, and there was a book tent next door. And they told me that he went to the book tent and bought a Bhagavad Gita. Hey, which book has more? More shocked? I didn't buy the Bible. I tell you that. Okay. Any other question? No. All right. That's very nice. Thank you very, very much. I hope to see you again soon, sometime. And next visit. I was only here to kind of warm up the atmosphere a little bit for the real performance of Prahlad Nanda Maharaj this afternoon, who will give the real mercy. And I cannot really speak very well on the scriptures, but Maharaj is very deep, actually. And so you must come back at 4 o'clock, it is, for the Sunday feast. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.